We are here, still in studio. It's the morning after with Ben and Josh, but we're not alone anymore, are we, Benjamin?
No, we're here with James Meharry, which feels so weird to say.
I know.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked to you and known you for a while, but we've never had you on the show before.
Of course.
So it's a lot of fun.
How's it?
I know. It's good.
It's great to be in here. It's great to be in the den.
Yes. In the depths. We're here talking, of course, about a short run, a selection of New Zealand Lathe Cut Records, which is a series of gigs and events featuring leading artists in Aotearoa's rich underground music scene that's happening at Coca, the centre of contemporary art. And this weekend, you're taking it by storm.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's been a few really interesting performances already at the Coca. There is one on this evening. Bad Evil was playing. And they're setting up this afternoon. I'll be in there this afternoon as well setting up. But I'm setting up a slightly different arrangement. Putting in record cutting lathe and installing it so that we can run through how it functions tomorrow at about midday, and then again on Sunday. Just, you know, sort of a short run through, just explaining the hows and whys and what fors.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to give it all away because you want people to go, but could you explain some of the hows and whys and what fors to us of lathe cutting? As me and Ben have discussed, this Music Month segment is definitely brought home just how young we are and how much we don't understand some of this older technology. What exactly?
Well,
is
I think
it,
it's some. You know, it's kind of become a bit of a cult technology, I suppose. Even more so than, you know, more recently, the cassette is obviously and magnetic tape is something that people have really kind of gravitated towards. But there's Phono's kind of been around, records have been around for probably around 90 years now. Goes back to Edison. I was just thinking when we were talking before this, before the segment, what it must have been like when we were talking about the idea of mystery and magic.
Yeah.
And records definitely have that degree of mysteriousness around how it translates into audio signal. What it must have been like when that first started. Like, for the first, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, how magical it must have been to be able to have a physical item like that. Just literally, it's just a piece of plastic, basically, but that translates into sound, and you can record things on it, and you can, you know, you can play it back. But yeah, I guess the biggest misunderstanding about vinyl is that there is quite often people refer to me, they say, can you press some records?
Yeah.
And that idea of pressing is different from cutting, and cutting records is a process that is part of moving the audio signal towards getting a pressed record, i.e. it's at the very beginning of that process, but you can literally stop there and be like, okay, I've cut a record, and I can play this back now on a turntable. But in the case of preparing it for pressing, which is essentially an industrialized process.
Yeah.
So that's where you want to make a lot of records, and you want to make them quickly.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say a lot quicker than it takes to cut a record. In order to cut a record, you have to cut it in real time. So as the audio plays, the record is spinning and you are cutting it onto the record at the same speed that you want to play it back at. When you press it, it's essentially, you've made essentially what's called a stamper, which is a sort of, think of it as a negative. It's like an audio negative. It's essentially where there's a valley or a groove, there's the opposite. And that stamper is in a 100-ton press, and they stick a little bit of vinyl into the middle and squash it like a pancake.
Nice.
And that pops it out in about 20 seconds.
Yep.
So it's like every 20 seconds they punch one out. And so that's pressing. It's just literally every 20 seconds there's another record popping out. But the cutting part is really back at that beginning stage when we're essentially transferring the audio source onto a record. And in the case of pressing, you cut it onto what's called a lacquer, which is actually slightly different. It looks just like an ordinary record, but it's got a metal center. And it's covered in something essentially the same as, it's called lacquer, and it's essentially the same as nail polish.
Oh, okay.
So it's really, really soft medium.
Yeah.
and it's essentially coated perfectly in it. Mm-hmm. And it takes that recording, essentially the vibration, which is being cut into that media, it takes it really, really well.
Yeah.
And then that is essentially what's known as the master.
Yeah.
Or the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they use that then to create, and they destroy it in the process of making the first original stampers.
Wow.
And the stampers are made through an electrolysis process, mm-hmm. of essentially electrodes in a solution that builds up a silver nickel kind of compound, mm-hmm. Essentially just over a period of just spinning it slowly in the fluid in the solution,
mm.
it builds up a metal cover which you just strip straight off the original record.
Yeah.
And what do you have? You've got an inverse, yeah. or a negative of, yeah. the original
and then
recording.
Yeah, you can make that presser.
And then, yeah. away you go. So you can then use that as a presser.
Dang.
But wow. what they do, though, is they keep that one,
mm-hmm.
and they make an inverse of that again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they make another one again, yeah. so that they've got basically backups, and they just put them case. On file. Because every 10,000 presses, the grooves kind of lose their clarity.
Oh, wow. I see.
How did you learn how to do this and get into it? It seems like something that, you know, involves a lot of know-how and knowledge and equipment.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't regard myself as an expert. I just more of a, you know, just passionate about vinyl. Mm-hmm. I mean, I started collecting vinyl when I really sort of started to get into music, which mm-hmm. was in my teens. And I then just sort of, you know, you start to explore the process by which they're made.
Mm-hmm.
And fascinated with that idea, you know, it would have been 10 or 15 years of just sort of, and I think this goes right into, you know, the internet really helped a
yeah.
lot, because it sort of exposed and allowed for different communities around the world to start communicating what is essentially kind of a bit of a dark art, really, because there yeah. was no way, unless you went into the studios and learnt how to do it from the masters,
mm-hmm.
There'd be no way of that information being shared. The internet yeah. has broken down that barrier, and now you've got a whole bunch of people all over the world who are building and exploring and sharing, and there's a common place called the Lathe Trolls. and that's a common place that most people go to around the world to share the ideas around cutting. So there's a lot learnt there, and then eventually I found somebody who was actually producing lathe equipment in an affordable way, I suppose you'd call it. It was still relatively expensive, but mm-hmm. it meant that I could possibly go and get some and bring it back here.
Yeah.
Amazing. So cool. Why is it important for us to preserve old practices like this?
Mm. I mean, RDU's history sort of begins on records.
Mm.
We used tape a lot back in, you know, the early tapes. The early playlist was run off tape carts.
Yeah.
But vinyl was the predominant way that people would share and broadcast music.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just from a historical standpoint, I saw it as being valuable to continue to collect
mm-hmm.
and preserve our parts and portions of our playlist in the same media with which we began.
Mm. Yeah.
Just for that purpose alone. But also, you know, for me personally, it was just something that I really enjoyed doing. I mean, I've been doing it now for nearly 10 years.
Mm.
Been a couple of years off just with RDU business, but I've recently been doing work with a young guy who was really fascinated with the idea of building a cutting head, which mm. is the very kind of core part of a lathe that sort of essentially translates the audio signal into a vibration
mm.
with a needle. And so over a period of a year and a half or so, we built a cutting head. Well, he did most of the mechanical work and I just advised.
Mm-hmm.
But we built one, and it'll be there tomorrow for people to see and hear how it works. So it's just been it's a process of continuing to keep something that I think a lot of people both value.
Mm.
It's like I said, it's got this real cult value.
Mm.
It's, as we know, it's a tangible. We were talking about that tangibility.
Yeah.
And how interesting that is.
Yeah.
People
yeah,
tend to want to kind of have the physical item. I mean, they might like the digital item on their computer or on their devices.
Yeah.
But having the actual physical item, and for me, I mean, very much so. It was is about the artwork.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, this 12-inch sized piece of cardboard stock that has the image.
Mm-hmm.
And you think of, I mean, anyone who grew up, maybe not necessarily for you guys, but anyone who grew up as a young influential during the 1990s
mm-hmm.
will have think of any music and you see the picture comes yeah. to your mind of that album artwork first and foremost. And that was so album artwork was really, really, really influential.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this, say, for example, the coming exhibition at the Christchurch Art Gallery, Flying Nun.
Yeah.
That's going to be fascinating because it really does show an illustration of the music and the culture around the music
mm-hmm.
through images. Mm. So, yeah.
Wow, so interesting. So, yeah, people can head down tomorrow from noon, correct?
Yes.
Yep. Tomorrow from noon at the Coca Art Gallery as well as Sunday to see you, you know, cutting a vinyl and explaining the process. Just for my own curiosity, is there any particular cutting vinyl that you have that to you is like, I'm so glad I have this one in my collection?
Oh man, massive question.
put him on the spot.
Yeah.
There might not be, and that's okay. But I'm
oh
just
no,
interested.
There's just so many. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah,
there's for different reasons. I mean, if you give me more a specific reason that I should divulge that particular, otherwise you'd be like, I wouldn't hate to misrepresent myself.
Okay, what's something that you're really glad you have from like a historical perspective?
Yeah.
From like, I'm glad from I have 90s. This, you know, to preserve this piece
okay,
of
well,
history.
I used to listen to kind of more heavy rock, hard rock.
Cool.
And when I was over in Melbourne, I went into just one of these, just as you do, you kind of sift through the record stores looking for anything you'd be interested in, might be interested in dragging back.
Mm.
And I found a original secondhand copy of AC/DC's Back in Black.
Wow.
And it is, you know, it's Australian, of course, Australian band and Australian copy.
But that's all right.
And but it's, you know, it's an embossed cover. It's the original cover.
Yeah, yeah.
The original cover's actually slightly embossed, which I didn't realise until I obviously saw the original. And I was like, this is the original pressing. And so I bought it, of course.
Of course, naturally.
I really enjoyed that album when I was a...
Cool.
It's been amazing to talk to you.
A spotty little 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I was much the same. Don't worry.
Same, yes.
I still kind of am. You guys can head on down to that tomorrow at Coca. And as well as that, just the entire A Short Run, a selection of New Zealand lathe cut records exhibition is going to be fantastic. You can find out more on Facebook. Just look up A Short Run and lathe cutting with James Meharry to get the specifics on this one. Thank you so much for, I was going to say coming into the studio, but you're here most days, but
yeah.
coming into this part of the studio and chatting with us.
Easy peasy.
Kia ora. Thank you.